Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, good morning. Good morning. Let's just take a moment, as we've been doing, and let's just praise the Lord for a moment as we open in prayer, shall we? Let's just take a moment and praise the Lord for what He's doing in this place and on this day. Lord Jesus, we come into Your presence this morning with thanksgiving, with immense gratitude. It doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter what we're facing. You have risen, and we give You praise, Jesus, because You have risen. Father, we thank You for the gift of Your Son, because He has risen. You didn't leave Him in the grave. You will not leave us alone because of it. We welcome You into this time this morning as we celebrate the resurrection in a whole different way than we'd anticipated. But You knew it was coming. You knew that some of us would be sitting in our living rooms. You knew that some of us would be sitting in the parking lot. We are so blessed to have those choices. And Lord, thank You that we haven't gotten as much snow as they anticipated or said we probably would, at least not yet. We're grateful for that as well. Thank You, Lord, for Your mercy to us each day. And so we come before You, Father, today. We come before You with thanksgiving. We come before You with gratitude. We come before You with humility and confidence that You are working all these things together for good because we love You and we trust You. So as we enter into this next piece where we talk from Your word and we come to the table with You, and remember You, we invite You, Holy Spirit, to speak past anything that's taking place in this building and fill our homes and fill our lives with assurance of Your presence today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, again, good morning, and I want to say our weekly thank you for all of you who have been so faithful in just checking in. I think one of the best days in the last month and a half was Friday, as you drove up and got the elements for communion. I am so grateful for that. Grateful that we got to say hello to you, and there were some of you that wanted to get out of your car and you wanted to hug somebody, anybody. There's a lot of you that are huggers that are struggling through this time. And I appreciate those of you who came and gave kind words and encouragement. And we, I hope, encouraged you as well. So thank you for those moments. Thank you for your faithfulness to give. That is helping us move forward. That is helping us take care of those who are serving overseas. And we are so grateful for your faithfulness in missions, in offerings, and in tithes. And we encourage you, even in these moments, oh yeah, I need to write out that check, or I need to go online and check it out. We encourage you to do that. It makes a huge difference. We're not storing it up, folks. We're sending it out. That's what we're doing with it. And we're so grateful to God for supplying our every need in these days. We've been doing a series of messages from the Book of Mark, actually, and we've called it On the Road with Jesus, or just On the Road. And this morning, I want to talk about on the road, His promises are kept. You know, the first time that Jesus' death was ever mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It is a place that is unusual, but from the very first of man's fall, God had the plan for His Son to come. So from Genesis all the way through until the celebration of this weekend, and it is a celebration, it is hard to celebrate Friday. But without Friday, there would be no Sunday. Without the cross, there is no empty tomb. Jesus truly paid it all. And that's what I want to talk about. So happy Resurrection Day. Did you know that the word Easter is only used one time in Scripture? And that's in Acts chapter 12. It's the only time it's used. It's the only time the word is used. Now, we've taken that one time and turned it into everything. But really what this is, a celebration of a unique event in history, the resurrection and the emptying of a grave by one man who changed all of history. That one man was fully man and fully God. And because he came and was in every way tempted like we are, yet without sin, we have hope through Jesus Christ. So our resurrection is assured because his resurrection took place. And that's what we celebrate today. That's what we're celebrating. No matter what the weather is, or if we're at home or in the parking lot, and there are several in the parking lot. Hi, folks. This was quite an experiment for us to get that to work, but it worked. And I want to say thank you to one of our local businesses. Divots loaned us that FM transmitter, and it was just a chance thing, a call, and they responded so kindly, as they always do. So we thank Divots, the Defense Center, Norfolk Lodge and Suites. We thank them for doing that. This isn't a paid commercial. I'm just grateful that in our community there are people willing to say, I'll do what I can to help you. And that's them. They've always been that way for us, and we're grateful for that. So God bless them for doing that. So whether you're at home or in the parking lot, as I said, this is a day of celebration. Now, the Easter story is a familiar one to most of us. And if it isn't, you can read in any of the Gospels and go to the end of the Gospels and you're going to hear the resurrection story. You're going to read the resurrection story. The last week of Jesus' life is very well documented. Historians have done this forever. Even if many find it difficult to accept what it means for our lives. There are people that don't believe it, obviously. I didn't believe it. I remember when I thought this was all nonsense. I remember my first Resurrection Sunday after I gave my life to Jesus. I was in the Navy. I was actually in boot camp, or I can't remember if I was in boot camp or if I was in training, A school. But I celebrated my first Easter in the Navy. And that was an event because I didn't know anything in those days except what I had read in the Bible. And so I didn't know what to do and what not to do, and I learned as I went along. It's amazing how God develops us in the process of this. So what I want to talk about relative to this well-documented event is something that happened, and it involves Jesus walking the roads again. Jesus always did ministry while he was on the road, no matter what he was facing, where he was going. And even after his resurrection, a lot of his ministry took place on roads where he met his disciples, where he met the ladies that came to take care of his, what they thought was going to be a dead body. And he was so alive, they didn't even recognize him when he showed up, according to the Gospels. This event is so unique in history, it's just unlike anything else. And so I want to talk about three promises that God fulfilled on that day for anyone who would receive them. Three incredible promises for you and me. And it's not just for lost people or broken people or sad people. This is a day of rejoicing. This is for all people as we look at this morning. So I want to talk to you about these three promises that God fulfilled that day. And these three promises were fulfilled because Jesus took this road. And the first part of the journey led to the cross. He did it publicly. He was abused. He was spat upon. He was catcalled. He was ridiculed. They put him on the cross. They nailed him to the cross. The cross was a horrific thing. And in Hebrew culture, in Jewish culture, dying on a tree is a cursed thing. So Jesus allowed himself to be cursed for you and me while he was hung on a cross between two thieves. What an amazing thing. So the road led to a cross. It led from the cross to a grave. And then it led to a demonstration of life unlike anything before or since. The empty grave. Of all the things that nobody has ever been able to solve in this mystery of Jesus' resurrection is What did they do with his body? Well, it wasn't there. Come with me to the Gospel of Mark, the 16th chapter, and we're going to read a few verses this morning as we begin to look at these three promises very quickly. Chapter 16 of Mark, beginning in verse 2. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb where the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go and tell his disciples." So they were the first ones to be able to say, "This is what we saw. This is what we experienced." Oh my goodness, can you imagine the conflicts in their lives, in their hearts? Jesus' mom was there. Mary Magdalene was there. Other ladies were there. I always wonder, how come the ladies were the first to show up? Well, part of the reason is they wanted to honor him by taking care of his dead body. He wanted to honor them by presenting himself alive and showing them his live body, his new body, so new they didn't even recognize him when they saw him. You'll have to read that on your own. But that's what the Bible says. So I want to look at three promises that are in this part of the scripture. First is this. There's the promise of acceptance. We are made acceptable to God. According to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved." We cannot get to God any other way. Jesus Christ is the only way. Two thieves. One thief continued to ridicule him, as many of us ridicule him. Many in our families ridicule him. Many of them may ridicule us. But one thief looked at him and said, "Wait a minute. He didn't do anything wrong. We deserve the punishment we're getting." One of the hardest things I think for most of us to understand is all of us deserve death. All of us deserve this punishment of dying for our sin, for not our mistakes, but our sin, where we have violated the righteousness of God and the laws of God that he has implemented. And these men had sinned, and one of them recognized it, and the other one did not. So as it comes to this point, then you've got Jesus, and he's himself hanging on this cross after having been beaten and then nailed to the cross. And this thief looks at him and says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus looks at him and says, "I accept you. I accept you just as you are, where you are, regardless of what you have done. And today you will be with me." Isn't that an amazing thing? One said it and the other ignored it. And Jesus said, "I accept you right where you are. You don't have to get off the cross. You're not going to get off that cross. They're going to kill you on that cross. But today, not tomorrow, not next week, today you'll be with me. And you'll always be with me." I think that's the most amazing thing, that we are made accepted in the beloved. One of my acquaintances, a person who serves overseas to a people group that is not very well reached yet, he said something in a meeting that has never left me. He challenged us. It was a meeting of almost all pastors. And he looked at us and he said, "We sell Christianity at a discounted price." That has just so stuck with me. We all look for good deals. Don't you look for good deals? I mean, go look at the shelves. Even if they're not good deals, we're buying things. Why are we buying those things? I went to buy dishwashing soap the other day. Every shelf was empty of dishwashing soap. Now, why do we need that much dishwashing soap? It's because we're afraid. We're afraid that we're going to lack something. We're afraid of what tomorrow may bring. Amazing truth. But that's the truth. And I actually had to go over to a lumber yard to get the dishwashing soap we needed for our house. Crazy that you got to do these kinds of things, but that's the times in which we're living. That's what fear does to us. It develops a lack mindset that my God can't supply all my need according to his riches. And so we're always looking for good deals, always looking for the best deals. Stores entice us with promises of deep discounts if we'll just shop in their store. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. In fact, I think it means that we're trying to be good stewards. But when there is only one of something we very much want, we will pay almost any price to get it. Isn't that right? Amen? You and I will pay whatever we have to pay to get what we want. God looked at all of humanity for all of time and said, I want them all, and I'll pay full price, the blood and life of my only son, in full payment for everyone that will accept my terms. If we will accept Jesus like the thief on the cross did, I am who I am where I am, we receive him, we're accepted by God because of that. I'm personally still rejoicing all these years later that Jesus accepts us where we are and loves us too much to leave us here or there. Jesus has done that for us. I just love him for that. It's an amazing truth. The second promise after the promise of acceptance is the promise of adoption. How about that? You go from being outside the family of God to inside the family of God. You're adopted. You're born again, but you're born again into it, like when we adopt somebody into our families. An adopted child has no less value than a birth child. An adopted child is fully legal, fully embraced, grafted into the family, is a full part of everything that's in that family. That's what's so amazing. Everything changed that Sunday morning a couple thousand years ago. Satan lost his death, or his grip on death and life. He no longer controlled everything. He's no longer controls everything in my life, and I hope in your life. That's the promise. And the other thing that happened is relationship triumphed over ritual. Just doing something because you've always been told you have to do it. This is a relationship. This is the kind of thing that so many of us are yearning for right now. We don't want to be seeing our families on Facebook or YouTube or any place else. We want them sitting in the living room with us. Relationship matters to us, and I have become more aware of that in the last several weeks as we've walked through this. We are fully adopted as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Romans 8:15 through 17 says this: For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. We are a part of God's family. We're joined to his family through Jesus Christ. This day we celebrate this resurrection power, this surrender of our lives and our futures to what he has. What a promise. We are adopted into the family of God. The third promise is this. We have the promise of access. You know, there's a lot of religion in the world that you have to do so many rituals and do so many times around the block and so many other things. Spin wheels, pray so many hours, pray so many times. That's not what Christianity is about. It's not what relationship is about. But that's what they think. It earns them merit so the gods will actually listen to them. Folks, you don't have to earn merit. Jesus gives us our worth. And he proves the worth by dying for us. And he proves what the future holds by rising again, that we might join him where he is one day. How wonderful is that promise? I love that promise. If there is any promise that should bring us joy on a day like this, snowing and blowing outside, it's the promise of our access to God through Jesus Christ. We are not forsaken, even though we're going through this difficult time. Around the world, it's a difficult time. Jesus is with us. That's his promise. Yeah, there's bad stuff. Yeah, there's all the things that we're aware of, all the we can't do's or shouldn't do's or mustn't do's or whatever. But in the face of all of that, we are not forsaken any more than Jesus forsook his disciples because they forsook him. They ran away in fear. They were hiding on this day, just like some of us are hiding on this day. We're just trying to stay inside and trying to be safe. And I'm wondering what tomorrow holds. That was his disciples, all of them, except for the women. And even the angel said, now go tell Peter that Jesus is going to meet them in Galilee. Go tell Peter. So this isn't something we keep to ourselves. This is something we share. We have access to God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 2, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We want our lives to glorify God in this time. We want to be celebrating and smiling and loving on others and just being Christians in this time. We want that for our lives. You want that for your life. We may not know how to do it. We're trying to figure that out. Can't high-five somebody. I went to a meeting a week or so ago, and I almost forgot. And I started to stick out my hand, and the guy that was greeting, he gave me an elbow. You know, the last time somebody gave me an elbow was in a fist fight. So, you know, you get a little defensive there. I forget that we're bumping elbows and tapping toes and doing those kinds of things. But yesterday, a business person was doing some stuff here at our church. And as he was leaving, he just said, thank you, and he stuck out his hand. How can you not reach out and take that person's hand and shake it with confidence that the Lord will keep you? The Lord will keep us in this. The disciples were hiding out of fear of their future. All of that was taking place. They didn't know what was going to happen next. We don't know what's going to happen next. But on that morning, an empty grave spoke, and an angel confirmed, he is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. That's Matthew 28, 6. As we prepare to receive our communion together, we need to remember that the last act Jesus did before his trial was to say, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. That's what we're going to do here in a moment. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So as we prepare our hearts this morning, I want to give you a moment to peel back the elements and separate the wafer from the juice and get ready to do this together. These two elements are amazing in their simplicity and eternal in their complexity. Those are two realities. Everything about God remains to me a mystery, except that he loves us. Not just me, but us. There isn't a man, woman, or child on the face of this earth that God did not send his son to die for. Every single human being, alive, walking, breathing, hospital room, healthy at home, serving others, every single human being, Jesus gave his life for. That's you and me, friend. That's you and me, beloved. That's us. We didn't deserve Resurrection Sunday. I don't deserve to be here today. Neither do you. But he has given us life. And we celebrate that life by sharing together in these elements. The first element, of course, is the bread. And Jesus passed the bread, and everybody broke off a piece. If you'll remember the story of the feeding of the 5,000, you'll remember that everybody broke off a piece and still there was some left over, enough to feed the disciples. Well, that's Jesus. You can never run out of the bread of life. He has enough for you and me. That's what he promises. He says, this do in remembrance of me. He took the bread, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember me. My body was broken so that yours may be healed. So as you take this element and hold it in your hand for a moment, we'll take it together. But I want to pray first. Lord Jesus, we hold in our hand the element, the bread. It's a little unleavened wafer. But it's symbolic, Lord, of your broken body. It was broken for me. It was broken for the men and women that are in this place today. The team that came and served us today. But more importantly, Lord, your body was broken for every man, woman, and child on earth. I say that over and over and over again, Lord, because we focus on our town or our family or America or someplace near. But Jesus, you allowed your body to be broken for anyone who would come, like the thief on the cross, and say, remember me today. We're remembering you, Jesus, with this element. Your word says that by your stripes we are and were healed. So we take this, Lord, and we're remembering those of our friends who may be ill with COVID or some other illness. We pray, Lord, for our brother Greg that's lying in a hospital in St. Louis, doing a little better. Thank you for that. But we pray that this is his resurrection day, Jesus. We pray a miracle this day because of your broken body. And for all those, Lord, who are struggling in this time, who need your healing touch, healing of their emotions, healing of their thoughts, healing of their physical bodies that have been affected one way or the other. Lord, we take this with full confidence that you're going to send your word and heal today. I pray for that person, Lord, that has been fearful because they've started feeling ill, temperature rising and those kinds of things going on. I pray right now that that temperature begins to fall. I pray in Jesus' name that healing begins to come as people listen to this, that you send your word and heal them right where they are. Lord, you're our healer. You're the divine healer. You are supernatural in your ability to be with us. And so we take this element now with thanksgiving, and we take it in Jesus' name. Because we do it in remembrance of you, Jesus. Thank you so much. Let's take it together, friends. We also hold in our hand the element of the grape juice. We use grape juice because it's fresh and sweet. Yet it stains. And it also reminds us that though our sins be as scarlet, we will be made as white as snow. God's word says that. Just like the thief experienced that day, just like I experienced that so many years ago, just like many of you have experienced it, we are washed clean. Isn't that awesome? I mean, really awesome. I don't use that word lightly in this case. It's not just inspirational. My confidence is in the awesome ability of God to forgive me and you of our sins on this day. It's His promise. It's His promise of acceptance. It's His promise of adoption. It's His promise of access to Him. And that's what we celebrate. Jesus said this is the representative of the blood of the covenant. My blood. And as we take it, He signed His covenant with His own blood, His own life. You don't have to do it. You don't have to beat yourself up. You don't have to cut yourself. I don't have to do that. All we have to do is remember His death until He comes. And therein lies a promise we'll talk about in the weeks ahead, when He comes again. For He is coming again. We hope soon, but we don't know. So we remember His death and the promise of His return, because He rose. Let's pray. Jesus, we hold this precious element that we take so quickly and so lightly. And I know that many have said it doesn't matter what you drink or what you eat. And it probably doesn't, Jesus. But to me, it matters. It matters because of what these two elements represent. The unleavened bread, the lack of your sin. You were sinless. And the final piece, Lord, is your blood, which was shed for us. It's pure. It stains. And yet it washes us as white as wool. Though our our sins be red like crimson, shall be white as snow. Thank you, Lord, for shedding your blood on this day a couple of thousand years ago, that we might know that we are accepted, adopted, and we have access to you. Those are the promises we hold to today as we take this together in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take it together. Let's take a moment and just thank the Lord. Would you lift your hand in your voice right where you are, your living room, your car, whatever. Would you lift your hands and with an open mouth, even a quiet voice, just say thank you. Begin to praise Him in your own words for His great and precious promises to us as we say out loud. Say these words with me. You are risen just as you said. Say it with me. You are risen just as you said. And we have our hope in you, Jesus. Is your hope there today, friend? If you do not yet know Jesus, bow your head and say, Jesus, like the thief, Jesus, remember me. I'm a sinner. I confess my sin. Come into my life. Fill it, Jesus. Take me with you when you come. Take me with you to you when I leave this planet. I want to be with you, Jesus. Forgive my sins. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for making me whole. Thank you for your life in exchange for my life. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life today and refreshing. In Jesus' name.